A few years ago, I found a bird's nest on the footpath, a beautiful thing of loosely woven she-oak needles lined with pale grey fur. I held it cupped in my hand as I continued onto the train from our inner city suburb and walked through the long pedestrian tunnel to the edge of Sydney's central business district. The joyful attention it attracted surprised me. "That's a little noisy miner's nest you've got there," a woman told me as she passed. "Lovely," another called out. But when I reached the university and showed it to my student, a man my own age, his face fell. "This meant a bird had lost its home," he said. "Did I know," he asked, "that when the harbour bridge was first built, crows made their nests on its high trusses? But when they went out to search for food, the architecture was so repetitive that even these clever birds couldn't find their way back to their chicks." I smiled a little to myself at my student's tragic cast of mind. Recent high winds had blown down this nest, a small drama innocent, as far as I knew, of any human interference. Yet I was all too familiar myself with a sense of wonder that flipped over quickly into apprehension about our impact on the natural world. Were the still evenings of a gloriously prolonged summer reason to rejoice, or evidence of disrupted climate patterns? Was it great good fortune, while driving in a remote part of the country, to have seen a koala bundling along by the roadside with her joey on her back, or an indicator of distress? Over the last few years, these trains of thought have multiplied. Is what I am witnessing normal or abnormal? A good or a bad sign? And above all, is it due somehow to us? These days, the most beautiful things, whose perennial loveliness once sustained us, carry the weight of an apprehension that has come upon us with terrifying speed. Could it have only been 2014 that I first heard the word Anthropocene, which denotes the astonishing concept that we've entered a new human-made geological epoch, that our signature will persist stamped into the Earth's strata for longer than it's possible to imagine. Our fossil fuel addiction may already have moved us into a chaotic territory of unpredictable feedback loops and tipping points. Such knowledge brings its own vertigo as we try to reconcile such dire warnings with our ongoing daily life. And yet the world seems more beautiful than ever to me these days, more intensely lovely, as if these qualities were also undergoing an exponential feedback effect. It is often sublimely beautiful, in the classical sense of exciting emotions and thoughts beyond the ordinary. On any given day, a fleeting cabinet of wonders passes through my phone. Ancient tardigrades or water bears under intense 3D magnification, like pouchy little taxidermist's armatures, come to life. The warped green beams of the Aurora Australis, the flight of a hummingbird caught in slow motion, a dinosaur tail the size of a sparrow's with chestnut feathers preserved in amber. More recently, there has been the disconcerting vision of some of the world's most polluted cities, Delhi, Bangkok, Bogota, Sao Paulo, their skies transformed in the midst of the human suffering of pandemic lockdowns, from smog to a lambent blue. It's as if our feeds have become our prosthetic heightened senses, allowing us to see, even if only casually, the uncanny beauty in everything. As we grapple with the awe-inspiring concept that we are now making the world's systems pitch and wobble, even the most humble things seem radiant with this knowledge. How can we comprehend that the fate of species that preceded us by millions of years is now tied to ours? Or in the case of creatures like the nautilus and horseshoe crab, even preceded the coal we burn? How can our daily lives be changing the movement of the Gulf Stream, causing heated subterranean gases in Russia's Arctic to blow like a bottle of champagne, or melting the permafrost so that it has started to spit out the more than 10 million mammoths thought to lie within it, causing a gold rush of ice ivory? To confront the epic scale of these events can feel paradoxically as if we have been plunged back in time, out of a scientific era and into an age of myth and wonder. For as they come under more threat, we are also learning more almost daily about the fantastic complexity of our ecosystems and the miraculous self-balancing of our Earth's fragile atmosphere, which, as writer Lyle Watson notes, serves the same function for the planet as the fur on a fox or the shell of a snail, but is a strange and beautiful anomaly maintained by living beings. Sometimes it feels as if in a fairy tale that as science discovers more about the world's intricate agency, we're seeing everything we intuited as children now coming true. That a solitary tree in a paddock feels lonely, that the winds are alive, that animals talk, that fish feel pain. All things counter, original, spare, strange, wrote Victorian poet Gerard Manley Hopkins in his celebration of pied beauty. Whatever is fickle, freckled, who knows how? As my student intuited, in the face of such enormity, even a humble bird's nest can become an almost unbearably poignant and vivid object.